Doesn't that seem more normal? Amen. This has been an interesting time, I think, for many of you. We've referenced this a lot, that it kind of began on Mother's Day. But for me, it's been an ever-increasing thing. And so I find that in reference to what the Lord's feeding me, or what I'm drinking from in the Lord, that it's been like drinking from a fire hydrant. And so there have been times in my life where messages have been backed up like cars to a train, because there are so many things the Lord's speaking to me that I want to share with you, that I have to just kind of back them up and list some stuff so that I can remember in that order what God wants me to do. And so this morning, there were a number of things that I wanted to share, or there are different things I could have shared. There was a word that I prepared, but I really believe God wants me to give a shorter word, especially in light of our Christmas play, and I wasn't sure how long that was going to last. And so while we were worshiping, I decided we were going to do this instead. And it lines up with the scripture reading, and there's something that I want us to see that I think the Lord wants to reinforce. You're going to hear me use this phrase often over the next little while. You've heard me say it before, but let me reemphasize it because it's so important. The intention of grace is to unbend us. As a result of the fall, humanity was bent towards the creature, towards ourself, towards our own personal performance, what we could achieve, even in our relationship with God, what we could do, what we could accomplish to find acceptance before God, to earn a place of favor with God, so that He would bless us to help us to live the Christian life successfully. But grace has come to unbend us from ourselves, to unbend us from our own performances, and also to unbend us from our own weaknesses. And the way grace does that is frees us to celebrate our weakness so that we can release them to Jesus. Because often we live under a lot of condemnation because of our weaknesses. And that means you're still bent toward yourself. That means that you're still expecting more from you than God does. I love the line of one of the songs that we were singing. It says that we are free, set free in His freedom. And what I mean by the fact that grace unbends you, it sets you free, it unbends you towards yourself, and you get bent towards Jesus and His grace. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. So in the process of saying that, there's another little change. I'm pulling another car off of the track, and we're going after this one. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Now I want you to hear this verse and hear how contradictory it is. Because when I think about strength and I think about grace, I'm thinking about two things that are in opposition. I know a lot of Christians who pray a lot, fast a lot, read their Bible a lot so that they'll be strong for Jesus. Their goal is to be a strong Christian. That's being bent towards yourself. And in your attempt to be a strong Christian, you're going to discover over and over again how much you fail. We'll mention this at some point in the next few weeks, is that one of the reasons people stumble over grace is because people like to count and they like to measure. They like to measure their success as a Christian based on the things that they do and the way they do them. The problem is, when you count, you also have to count when you don't get it right, when you don't pray enough, when you lost your temper, when you got frustrated, when you became impatient. And so if you're going to count all your successes, you're also going to be counting. If you're in the counting and in the measuring, you're measuring your failures compared to the standard that is Jesus in Scripture. You're measuring your unsuccessful things in your walk with the Lord. And then no matter how successful you are, no matter how much you're achieving, no matter how much you're performing, no matter how many things you're counting that you're getting right and you're getting better at, there's always hanging over your head those failures. That maybe God didn't do it this way that I wanted him to because I blew that one. I didn't get that one right. Maybe if I prayed a little bit more, at this hanging over your head, fasted a little bit more, witnessed to a little bit more, shared the gospel with a few more people, prayed for more people, whatever. Read my Bible more, came to church more. That's a horrible way to live. And that's being bent toward yourself and your own performance. Because you're thinking, my record's not perfect, and if you're going to live by performance, you're going after perfection. But if it's imperfect, there's always that thought, there's always that doubt, maybe because I did that, I'm not being blessed like this. Here's the deal. You're blessed because you have his record. His record's hanging over your head. You're in Christ. You have his record. Your record no longer exists. It can't be found anywhere where there was a fire in the warehouse and it all got burned up and they can't even trace it. And there's only one record that has your name on it, and it's Jesus' record. You're hidden in Christ with God. Your walk with God is in union with Christ. Grace did all that. Jesus accomplished all that. There is a statement I'll read to you that'll be in a message at a later time. This is going to be part of the message today. But I just want you to get something that's really important. This is not my statement. This is someone else wrote it. When we did the conference on identity and self-image, your God's dream, the phrase that I used through the whole few days was the vicarious humanity of Christ. The word vicarious is really important. So I'll just read this to you. It has a Latin origin, and it describes the nature of a substitute or representative, one who is and acts for others. So we talk about the substitutional sacrifice of Christ, but there's also the substitutional life of Christ. It's the word vicarious. When you do something as someone and on their behalf, as their substitute. You do it in their name, as them, on their behalf. Christ, now hear this statement. I read this yesterday, blew me away. It'll blow me away the rest of my life. It's one of those ones I'll come back to again and again. It sounds a little theological. I don't want it to, so I've changed it around a little bit so it sounds real, so you understand. Everything God did for you, is doing for you, will do for you in the future, is all being accomplished in the person of Jesus. It's all because you've been placed into his person. That's the grace. Christ works out our salvation within his own person. It's really powerful. Christ works out our salvation through his own vicarious humanity. This statement, to speak of the vicarious humanity of Christ, is thus to say that he assumed your humanity and my humanity and made it his own. That's remarkable. That's what Christmas is all about. That's the incarnation. That Jesus assumed our humanity, made it his own in order to be for us, as us, whom we could not and would not be, and do for us and as us what we could not and would not do. That's grace. So this verse, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my child, because Paul was a spiritual father, you therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, where is grace found? Be found strong in the grace that's what? Where? In Christ Jesus. Jesus contains. Jesus is the reservoir of all of God's grace. But he makes this statement, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's interesting to me because by nature, grace is saying you're free from having to be strong for God. You're now free to be unbent and be bent now towards me and to totally depend on my free gift of not just your acceptance, my free gift of my ability released in you step by step to live the Christian life. My free gift of your acceptance and inclusion in the fellowship of the triune God. All by grace, all in Christ. Think again about those words. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. Wow. So everything about your Christianity is worked out in the person of Jesus as a free gift. Everything. And that means much more than you can ever imagine. And we'll try to unveil all those things in the days to come. There is this place in Peter, been kind of a fun new place to hang out in this verse, remarkable. 1 Peter chapter 1, or maybe it's 2 Peter. Let me see which one it is. Well, it must be 1 Peter. Yeah, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Okay. Christianity is a life of action. Grace doesn't mean passivity. Grace is all about his activity. That activity being realized and worked out through your humanity. That's what makes it so fun. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely. Fix your hope completely on the grace, and here's the right language, here's the grammar, that's being brought to you. Fix your hope completely on the grace that is being brought to you at the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The more it's unveiled to you that the whole Christian life is lived out in the person of Jesus, your whole Christian life is experienced and lived out in the person of Jesus, the more that is unveiled to you, the more you begin to experience the grace of God. Because you get unbent from yourself. Things simple like, I just can't love that person, that tells me that you're still trying to live under the law. You're bent toward you and what you can't do. And grace unbends us. Grace says to you, your life is hidden in me. And I've already decided on your behalf to love that person with the love of God. And all I need is you to say yes to that because you're in me. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it through you. I just need you to say yes to it. I'm having a hard time leading the situation, or I'm having a hard time doing this. You've just said that you're under the law, and you're bent toward yourself. And grace liberates you from the weakness that you can't do that. You're able to go, wow, I embrace the fact that I can't do that, and I release that to him because he's already decided for me that he can do that, and I'm in him, and I just say yes to that. I just add my faith. I just surrender to the fact he believes he's able to do that. It's grace. You ever had people really mistreat you? You have a hard time forgiving them? You have a hard time not carrying on those conversations in your head? Going over again the things they said and the things you'd like to say if you could? Or things keep popping out of your mouth about people? You ever notice that about yourself? That there's just like this stream of negative things that keep popping out in your mouth about people? Well, you know, that's not Jesus, right? Yeah, but I've tried to quit. I know. But that's being bent toward yourself. Grace unbends you. Grace says, one, I love you even though you do that. And you've already been forgiven. But let me just tell you, I set you free from that. I've already decided for you to not talk like that. Your life is hidden in me. I've already decided for you to forgive those people that you resent, that you think have failed you in some way. Would you say yes to that and then live the life that I live? This goes back to the thing that we were saying months ago, that God's plan was that we would be woven into the very fabric of Jesus' existence. That I would be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus? What in the world does that mean? It means that you would only be strong in the fact that he's the only one who can do anything in the Christian life that's successful to God. It's being strong in the fact that you can't do the Christian life. It's like being strong in his ability. In other words, I love people when they get strong in grace because what they're doing is they've embraced their weaknesses. They're able to celebrate their smallness. And being set free from the burden of the I can'ts, they've been bent towards the Christ who can. That makes sense? There's such a burden to live with the I can'ts. But he came to set you free from that. Grace unbends us towards ourselves and releases us to Christ. So to be strong in grace means to have a strong belief that Christ alone is the Christian life and can live the Christian life. He's not just the plumb line. He's not just the standard. He's the life. He's the only one that can meet his own standards. Whenever I hear people say things like, well, it just is what it is, you're being bent. And grace wants to unbend you. It is what he says it is. And grace doesn't just operate through me. I'm under the domain of grace, and grace is operating in every circumstance in my life, and I can trust him that in my inability and weakness to change one thing about it, he's going to cause all things to work together for good. That's being unbent. I used to look at that verse in 2 Timothy a lot over the years. Just recently it's become, God brought me home to it, and I see it in a different way than ever before. See, I don't know about you guys, and I don't want to, well, let me just encourage you in terms of what God's doing. I've known what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, doesn't say, have a testimony of years ago when you got baptized in the Spirit. The scripture says that you should be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 5. When the dove landed on Jesus, it says it remained on him. I'm in Christ. I get to experience all that he is and the relationship that he has with the Father and that he has with the Holy Spirit. Wow. And you can't get any better than that. And the only thing I can explain to people what it's been like lately for me is almost like I'm popping full of the Holy Spirit. So much so that it's coming out of the pores of my being. And it's effortless. I don't know what to do. I'm not doing anything to make it happen. I'm just allowing grace to keep unbend me. And it just happens. This is what God is saying. This is what God's wanting to do. That you would be so filled with the Holy Spirit. That wouldn't be a theological term. It wouldn't be a phrase that you use. It wouldn't be how you identify yourself as a Christian as opposed to those who aren't charismatics. It would be something you could say, yes, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians. This is verse 4, speaking of Jesus and then us. For indeed, Jesus was crucified in weakness or because of weaknesses. What does that mean? He, though God, stepped into our humanity, became one of us to redeem us from the inside out. And allowed himself to be crucified. He didn't resist God's will. He was crucified in weaknesses. I heard a guy speak one time, his name was Bill Gillum. He and his wife Annabelle Gillum, their books are still out there. I heard them in Montgomery speak, Olivia and I did, and they were doing a seminar on marriage, and it was so awesome because it was all from the place of being in Christ. And one of the things that he said was this. He said, as the Son of Man, Jesus was the weakest man who ever lived. He didn't say that Jesus was the most sinful man that ever lived because Jesus never sinned. But Jesus never did one thing that wasn't done in utter and total dependence on the Father by the Holy Spirit in him. Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. Nothing. And then he made this statement. When Christ died, if the Father hadn't raised him from the dead, Jesus would still be in the grave. He was that committed to weakness, that committed to surrender, that committed to not doing anything apart from the Father by the Spirit doing through him as a second Adam because he was trying to teach us how to live the Christian life. That we can't do anything apart from him doing it through us by the Holy Spirit working in us. Because over and over again in the New Testament, when it talks about the resurrection of Jesus, it always says, and God the Father raised him from the dead. Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. He was utterly helpless, chose to be, and totally dependent on grace operating on his behalf. And says, in weakness, he was crucified. Yet, he lives by the power of God. As the Son of Man, as the incarnational God, he was crucified in weakness, but he experienced resurrection from God, grace, and lives in the power of the resurrection now. For we are also weak in him. Did you know that about you? Did you know that about you? That you're weak in him? That's what it says. Yet we should also live with him by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 12 says, "In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong in grace." He said, "I will therefore boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may tabernacle in me." Grace unbends us from the law, unbends us from this whole pretense that the enemy puts on us that by our performance we can be Christ-like. By our performance for God, we can find a place of acceptance. By our performance for God, we can find a place where we're postured for favor. Remember the gospel, your inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he is worthy of. But grace also unbends us from the despair of self-rejection because of weakness. Grace unbends me towards him and says, "I'm going to take advantage of your weaknesses. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And therefore, I can embrace the fact I can't do the Christian life, but he can. I'm unbent. I can embrace my weakness and release them to Jesus, and in my weakness, his strength made perfect. When I'm weak, then he's strong." That was one of the biggest hurdles I had to overcome all those decades ago. I discovered that Christ alone could live the Christian life, but I so hated myself for being weak, and so I went on this journey to try to make myself better, to get rid of those weaknesses so that Christ could live through me. And I didn't realize it was a setup. It was the very thing that my greatest asset was my total weakness. Your greatest asset is your total weakness because it unbends you towards grace. It's not meant to keep you in captivity, to entrap you into despair because you're too weak. You've got too many issues. You can't make this Christian life work. It's meant to liberate you. Okay, I can't do it. And that's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. Grace, the grace that's in Christ, can make it work. I don't have to climb the ladder to find presence, intimacy. I'm in Christ. He's there. It unbends me. Oh, but I can't fast enough as that person who's a hero. I can't pray enough or read the Bible enough as much as that person did. I don't have to do anything to get there. I was born there. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Grace unbends me. I thought the Lord was telling me last few weeks, he said, there are some people who don't get it. Then there are others who don't want it. They get it, but they don't want it. Because even though it's grace, it means that he gets all control, which means I can't continue to manipulate and maneuver to get my way. But I heard the Lord say to me this morning, he said, "Chuck, there's a third group. And that group is that they can't get it. Yet. Because there's such brokenness. They've never heard it. There's such mistrust." And he says, "Those are the ones who I pour out my love for the most. Those aren't the ones to be frustrated with. Those are the ones. Allow my grace to bend you towards loving them the way I love them." Let me just say this to you. This is a promise God's given me. If you're here, part of this fellowship, you're going to get it. There's not a question about it. God's promised it. Now, whether you want it or not, it will be something I can't control. He It's going to be dependent on whether you want to give up control, because grace takes that away from you. It liberates you, but also liberates you from doing it your way, having it your way. We live in an extraordinary season right now. God wants all of us to experience what it means to literally, physically, mentally, emotionally be spirit-filled. Not as part of the label that labels who you are, but that identifies how you live, what you experience. I want to experience his experience. I turned 70 on Christmas Day. If it's true, I used to read those scriptures that even though my outer man's decaying, my inner man's being renewed day by day, getting older rocks. There are things I can't do that I used to could do. My kids would testify, I never move very fast, but I'm even slower than I used to be. But there are things that I can do. There are things that I see. There are things going on the inside that are like a volcano. It gets better or it can get worse. We can either break out of the wilderness or die there. A whole generation did. But we're not going to. You're not going to. The only way you're going to escape getting it is deciding, I can't go to church there anymore because I can't stand hearing about grace anymore. And if that's the reason you leave, I'll bless you. But I believe that what I'm describing to you is normal and that we're all going to get the chance to experience normal. And I've talked to so many of you that are experiencing that, that are growing into that, that are, they're just like there's a birthing happening. It's like there's a fresh baptism in the Spirit going on. It's for you too. It's for all of you. His grace is bigger than anything you've ever experienced that has kept you back. Amen. God wants a people who are strong in the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. You know, we've talked and laughed about, Michael and I, about, we hear men say sometimes, just man up. God wants to unbend you. I'd much rather Jesus up. It works out a lot better. It doesn't come across nasty. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we're in. I thank you for this amazing season when you're speaking to us, where your word, your revelation is coming forth like a fire hydrant. Lord, you said for us to open wide our mouth and you would fill it. Oh God, Holy Spirit, help us open our mouths open wider than ever before. Because you're filling us with stuff. It's an amazing thing that you're doing. We bless you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.